Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Happy Thursday, everybody. Great to be with you. Broadcasting live statewide from City Deck Landing Studios here at WGBW in downtown Green Bay. I hope everyone had a remarkable Thursday. Lots of stuff happened today. Lots of stuff in the news. Lots of showbiz news. Lots of actual news. We'll try to break it down tonight and maybe even find a way to have a laugh about some of it. Got a great show tonight. My guests are Ed the Diver and Chip Chinnery. Ed the Diver, this is interesting. I live in the Marinette area, and about 2 years ago, maybe not even, pardon me, I heard about this guy, Ed the Diver, and he's from Marinette. And he goes underwater and finds little knickknacks and whatever he can find under there. He just kind of explores, and he pulls up junk. In effect, cleaning our waterways while he's sort of exploring. And he's grown to like become this icon on YouTube. He's got a ton of followers. And I'm sure not just in Wisconsin or Northeast Wisconsin, but probably all over the world. And he pulls up some really cool stuff. I saw one video where he had a sturgeon swim right up to him. Something called a mud puppy, which I found disgusting, and I didn't even know you could find in fresh waters. It looked like an alligator with arms and legs. Well, it looked like an alligator. I didn't know you could find this in the Menominee River. He pulls up fishing lures and old toys and just some really, really cool stuff. And in by doing that, he's cleaning our waterways. He's doing a great job. He's helping raise money, doing some really cool stuff in the community as well. Pardon me. And then in the 8 o'clock hour at 8:35, Chip Chinnery will be here. Author, comedian, actor Chip Chinnery. Chip posts. All right. I met Chip, I want to say April 4th. I'm sure he'll correct me. In 1990. It was one of my first stand-up gigs. It was in West Lafayette, Indiana. And Chip was in the habit. He had been doing stand-up already for a few years. It was one of my first, might have been my first paid gig. Chip had gotten in the habit of taking a photograph with every comedian he worked with. He would get the whole show together. Typically, it was three comics. He would take the picture, list it in his scrapbook or whatever. He ended up writing a book called Charging Mount Stand-Up, My First Year in Comedy. And he's got stories about all these famous comedians. Really good guy. And he posted something today. I just booked him today because I saw in his Facebook post, it was the picture of Chip and me and another comic named Rob Haney. I got this big old poofy hair. I don't know why I didn't dress nicer when I was doing stand-up, but I was still kind of learning the ropes. Like I said, I think it might have been my first paid gig. I don't document everything like Chip does. So Chip will join us at 8:35. We're going to talk about if people ever get annoyed that he posts these pictures, because I have a big old... I'm just going to tell you, folks, when I started doing stand-up, I would stick around every night, have a few drinks. I would hit, you know, Taco Bell on the way home. There's a burger place called Ducks on my way home from where I lived in Chicago. And I would eat late at night. And I had been doing this for like 4 or 5 months. And one night, my buddy Rich Brown was recording his set. And I said, hey, record mine too. And I saw myself. And I was like, oh, my God. Like one of those things you don't realize you've put on weight. Because how often do you look at yourself? I think sometimes we look at ourselves in the mirror and it's like, I'm a pretty good looking guy or pretty good looking girl. And then you see yourself on something that doesn't lie. Anyway, I was kind of mortified when I saw this picture of myself today, but whatever. We are all young at one point, and Chip will have a good time talking to Chip and finding out what he's up to and how his book is selling. So Ed the Diver and Chip Chinnery, pretty good show. Lots of stuff happening today. Conrad, are you ready to take some texts?
I definitely am, yes.
We've already heard from Sherry. Hi, yes. Pete from Horicon. Hi, Sherry. Great to have you with us on this Thursday night. I hope all is well in Horicon. And I hope you're looking forward to the show. We got a good one. O.J. Simpson died today, Conrad.
Yeah.
Or no, yesterday, actually.
Yes.
So we'll talk a little bit about that, too. I remember exactly where I was during the Bronco chase. I'm sure everybody has memories of that. And I think rather than do a full-blown question tonight, just give us your thoughts on O.J. Simpson. You know, try to keep it somewhat brief, but I remember the trial was a fiasco. Cops driving around with blood in the car before they took it to the lab. You know, the prosecution not doing their job properly. All these, it was a nightmare. Like, on some level, I was like, I'm not surprised they found him not guilty. You can't, like, everybody knew he did it. But the trial was just a fiasco. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit. But feel free to share your thoughts about O.J. Simpson with us. I know my son got a text from his friend that said, terrible about O.J. Obviously joking. And my son texted him back and said, yeah, I wasn't really a fan. And his friend texted him back. His friend Ryan texted him back and said, you just don't know ball. So we're all making our jokes about O.J., because you just have to laugh at stuff sometimes. It was such a terrible tragedy what he did. I remember looking at the picture. I think he was on Time Magazine with his mugshot. And, you know, he was one of those guys when I was a kid, we would pretend we were O.J. Simpson. It was like O.J. Simpson and Walter Payton when you're playing football in the yard. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was so depressing that he could do that to two people. These people that certainly didn't deserve it, of course, and that were just victims. It's just awful. So share your thoughts, if you want to, on O.J. with us. You can make a joke. That's what we do here. You got to laugh at stuff, folks. Life is too serious. There's bad stuff that happens, and you can sit and cry, or you can find a way to compartmentalize it, get some perspective, or laugh at it. So you are welcome to share your thoughts on O.J. Simpson dying today or the whole situation. I mean, the guy was in comedy movies by the Zucker brothers, who are from Wisconsin. Naked Gun. He was funny. He was one of those sports personalities like The Rock or Jim Brown or Dick Butkus that they were in movies. That really doesn't happen anymore unless they're comedies and they're kind of poking fun at themselves. But he was in those movies. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Text us at any point, folks. Tell us what you think about O.J., about anything else we're talking about on the show. If you want to ask Ed the Diver a question about stuff he's found, I'm certainly going to ask him about that stuff. You're welcome to join in. So please, as always, you guys are so good about being part of the show. I love it. Keep them coming. Or you can text on the app. If you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app, I highly recommend it. It's very easy to use. We're on statewide, so you just click on any one of the stations, and there's a little text icon right under at the bottom of your screen. Makes it super easy. Conrad, how can people watch on the stream?
So on Facebook, we're under WGBW or under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media. And on X or Twitter or Twix, we're under WGBW. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Sherry has no trouble finding us.
No, she does not.
I love it. So here's an interesting thing. I thought this was fascinating. And I think I've mentioned this before on the show, but several months ago, this was posted quite a while ago. I became aware of it several months ago on Reddit. Someone said, it's the Buffalo Bills' fault that the Kardashians are famous. I was like, what? And I read the post on Reddit, and it says the Buffalo Bills barely lost a game in 1970 by missing on a bad pass for a touchdown. I guess it was an easy pass. They blew it. That loss allowed them to get the first pick in the draft, O.J. Simpson. O.J. stays in Buffalo for a while, meets his wife, and the rest is history. They moved to L.A. He killed her and hired Robert Kardashian, who was his friend. If the Buffalo Bills had never drafted O.J. Simpson, none of this ever would have happened. He might have done something else. He obviously was a mess or had a lot going on, some serious anger issues, obviously. But he met Nicole Brown who was just Nicole Brown at the time, in Buffalo. So obviously tragic for many reasons, but also that it kind of launched the Kardashians. Conrad, do you keep up with the Kardashians?
I do not keep up with the Kardashians at all.
I can't do the Kardashians. I don't get it. But whatever. I don't think I'm the market for them. Hey, how cool is the show Busted Pencils? Did you listen to it today? I was listening to it while I was driving in. They're so great. Tim and John, it's like, they're just, I love the way they talk. I love their persona. I love how they break issues down so easily about public education. If you haven't checked out Busted Pencils here on Civic Media, check it out. It's on 6 to 7 right before Nightlight, and they are on statewide as well. So share with us if you're willing, if you want, your O.J. Simpson thoughts. He passed away yesterday at the age of 76, victim of cancer. You never want to cheer anybody's death, but I will tell you this. On the internet today, all I've seen were people in Caitlyn, Bruce Jenner's name now? Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
Said good riddance or something like that. Like, people are really, I can't even imagine what that guy's life was like after that trial. I think he lost everything, as he should have. But it's just so tragic all the way around. Obviously, mostly for Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. But I remember where I was. I watched the Bronco Chase in the comedy club in Elmhurst, Illinois, with another comic called Mike Ostrowski. I don't know if Mike would remember that. I'm sure he remembers it, actually. I don't know if he remembers I was there. And the club owners. And it was just the most surreal thing ever. You just don't know what you're going to see. I'll tell you something, folks. Car chases and sports are the only two things where you don't know the ending. That is actual reality TV. Reality TV, it's all scripted. I hate to break it to you. But it is. The car chases and that OJ chase was something else. I had no idea. It was scary. It's like, what are we going to see here on live TV? So share your thoughts. We'll read your thoughts coming up. Ed the Diver is here at 7:35. Very excited to talk to Ed. He lives in my adopted hometown. I think it's Ed's actual hometown. I moved there in junior high. It's where I live now. I love it. And Ed lives across the street from the house that I moved to when I was a kid. He gives me updates periodically. So that's coming up. And a lot more fun stuff, not just OJ stuff. Forget the OJ stuff. We'll move on. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. So, I know I said we were going to move on from OJ and we will, but I have to address this text. Sherry from Oregon says, my ex-mother-in-law taped the whole thing on VHS tapes, the trial, like 30 of them. She could have made her own miniseries. That is diligence, Sherry. Stacy Sue. Hi, Pete from Menominee. Hi, Stacy Sue. And, we got our first Ed the Diver text. Sherry from Northwest Coast, California. I love listening to Ed the Diver. And I'm clear out here on the North Coast of California. Yes, Ed is nationwide, ladies and gentlemen, but he is here tonight. He will be along shortly. Thank you for the text, Sherry. That's good to know. From the 920, Jim says, O.J. Simpson was a great football player, a fair sportscaster, a mediocre actor, and a pretty good comic. You mean like stand-up, Jim? I never knew he did that. The Kardashians aren't the only bad thing he did at the end of his career. The LA police and prosecutors botched that case so completely that he got off. I agree. It was a tragedy all the way around. So share your thoughts if you like, or you can share your thoughts, obviously, on whatever we're talking about. It's National Pet Day, National Barbershop Quartet Day. Conrad, take a memo.
Yes.
You got to get a barbershop quartet in here.
We do.
I need live singers in here.
Maybe we can do it.
Well, we're only two. That would take some serious,
barbershop skills. Duo.
Barbershop duo, yeah. They're making a Gladiator 2. This is really cool because Gladiator 1 I loved. Did you see it?
I feel like I've seen it, but I just don't remember, you know?
I think you'd remember it.
Because it's one of those. When did it come out?
97 or 98. Before you were born, but yeah. It's like it's on cable all the time. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah, I'm sure I've seen it.
And Denzel Washington is going to be in it. Pedro Pascal, Connie Nielsen, who was in the first one. It's going to be fantastic.
Yes, I just had a look at the on Google. I've seen it.
Yeah, it's outstanding. It's a great movie. It was Russell Wilson did not win an Oscar. He struggles through a commercial as we've heard. Russell Crowe won an Oscar for his role as Maximus Aurelius. No, not Aurelius. Maximus. He played the Spartan. His name was Maximus. I don't remember his last name. Maybe Smith. Who knows? He won an Oscar. And the second one is also directed by Ridley Scott, who directed the first one. So I have every thought that this one will be a good one too. And here's what I don't get. Help me out here, folks. Margot Robbie, the star of Barbie and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, a really good actress. She has her own company now called Lucky Chip. They optioned and will produce with Lionsgate and Hasbro a movie based on the board game Monopoly. Yeah. I get it. It's a well-known brand. They've sold a half a billion games since 1935. But, I get it. You want to use the name to help sell the movie. But come on. How do you make that a movie?
I don't. Like, do you get $200 every time you pass go in the movie?
Yeah. Who's the main character? A shoe and a thimble? It doesn't make any sense.
See, I'm wondering what happens when they land on the prison space.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Does Margot Robbie go to prison?
Not if she has a get-out-of-jail-free card. She'll probably try to buy the railroads and the utility company. I don't know. I love playing Monopoly. I don't know how you make that a movie, though.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it's going to score 5% on Rotten Tomato already.
You know what? I have a theory about Rotten Tomatoes, and I'm glad you said that. I love Rotten Tomatoes. I go there often. Before I go see a movie in the theater, I always check. And I see how it's reviewing, but I just think critics are trying to make a name for themselves now, and they're afraid to go after or pan something. I feel like they think they're going to lose their press pass or their credentials or something. I cannot believe they used to be a tough sell. It used to be you had to make a really good movie to get Roger Ebert or Gene Siskel to like it. And now it's like, and maybe part of it's Rotten Tomatoes. They'll kind of spin something into a good review. Because I have read reviews there where Rotten Tomatoes will mark it fresh, but I'm reading the review and it's like, this doesn't really sound like they really like this film. But they're still marking it fresh. I don't get that. So that could be part of the problem too, but I don't understand. It's like the word critic says you're supposed to criticize. Be a critic. Don't just like something because you like being around Hollywood or because you like going to movie premieres. And the studio can strong arm people. They do that. They do with writers anyway. Hey, do we have another Cheers clip, Conrad?
Yeah, we do.
Let's play it. It was John Ratzenberger's birthday this. We've got a few birthday clips. We have to get to The Princess Bride at some point this week. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow night. I know we've got LA Confidential. We played our Park and Rec clip. It was Cliff Clavin's birthday from Cheers, John Ratzenberger. Let's play some Cliff.
Here's your mail.
Oh, thanks.
I'm afraid they're all Bill's.
Oh, good. I'll give them to Bill the moment he comes in.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, thank you.
Up the movie. Hold on there, sport.
Yeah?
As you can see, I'm wearing the colors myself here. And as a veteran postal carrier, I can only say I'm both shocked and dismayed.
Sir?
Department policy regarding the uniform, son, states in part, and I quote, uniform shirt shall be buttoned up to and including the second button from the collar of said shirt, unquote. You're letting us down, son.
I'm sorry, sir.
I didn't mean any harm.
It's all right, son. I was green once, too. You'll make it.
Thank you, sir. I'll try to do better.
Carry on, son.
I'll try.
Here's your beer, Cliff.
Coach.
Cliff? Say, you're not by any chance Cliff Clavin.
Sure am. You heard of me?
Your name is kind of a symbol around our branch office.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, like, just the other day, I messed up, you know, and my supervisor told me to get my head out of my Clavin.
That's pretty bad when someone equates a body part to you. What do you think, if someone said my Conrad, what would you hope they'd be referring to on the human body? Bicep?
Yeah.
ACL?
He's got a really strong Conrad there.
I like the cut of that guy's Conrad.
I think bicep's the only thing.
Bicep's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Or try. I want quads.
There you go.
Look at the Schwabas on that guy. Look at those quads. From the 920, Jim from Appleton checks in. He and Howard Cosell worked the late night shows a bit. Carson, Howard was the straight man. Oh, yeah, that's true. Jim says they were funny. That's true. I was thinking OJ had like some kind of stand-up act. Ugh, tragic. Good text, though. Feel free to keep those coming, folks. Ed the Diver is coming up next. At 8:35, we will have Chip Chinnery here, author, comedian, actor. He might even have a tax tip for us. It's almost tax day. But we'll be back next with Ed the Diver. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, baby, I want to taste your lips. I want to be a fantasy. Yeah. Without you, babe, don't know where I'd be. You're not just another lover, no, you're everything to me.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabe anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. We are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Coming up at 8:35, Chip Chinnery will be here to talk about a really embarrassing photo he posted of me today on Facebook. That's always fun. Chip, we'll have fun. Chip's always a fun guy to talk to, and we'll find out how his book is selling. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show a guy I've heard a lot about, I've met in passing a couple times, and we were almost neighbors if fate had aligned. Ed the Diver is here, and Silent J. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us tonight.
Hey, my pleasure. So you are a busy guy, Ed.
Yes.
You and I swapped texts one day for about 3 hours, and you told me how busy you were, and I think I made the joke. I said, you know, we could have done an interview in this time, Ed, but...
Yeah.
I know you're spread thin. So
I'm spread thin. Everybody wants a piece. They want me to find something or do something or whatever. It's been crazy.
The price of fame, huh?
It is.
It's great to have you here, and a shout out to Christy Barlamin for introducing me to you. She's introduced me to a few guests here in the Green Bay area, and she's my eyes in the street. But so you live in the Marinette area right now. I have about 8,000 questions to ask you, and we've only got a few minutes.
Let's get it. All
right. I love talking to people who are not only passionate about what they do, but are so passionate about stuff that they've carved a niche for themselves in the world and made it a profession. Yeah. That is really cool.
It is fun. Very awesome to be able to do this. And it's not, it's been a hard run. I've been doing it for full time for like a year and almost 5 months, 4 months. But I've really got to learn, you know, as you work for yourself, you know, how to budget, how to figure out how am I going to make it the next couple of months. But lately it's been going crazy. New sponsors, Nick nice. Laylaw. Other ones possibly coming on soon. Other people that want to support the summer tour coming up. So I'm able to work it out. Actually, I'm moving from the house that we used to.
What?
Yeah, you grew up across the road from me, or you lived in the house, but I'm moving from that, sold it to my son, moving to over by Weikert Realty by Quick Trip.
Oh, no way.
Yep.
Oh, that's a little too convenient. You're going to be in Quick Trip all the time.
Yeah, or Lolly's is right behind my backyard.
Wait, you have a son old enough to buy a house?
He's 20.
Oh, wow.
So, I'm trying to start him out young. And I told him, I said, hey, when I get ready to move, you're the first person I'll offer the house to. And he's like, I'll take it. So So,
all right. So let's get this out of the way. So I moved to Marinette from Chicago when I was in junior high to a house in right in town. We had a double lot. It was this big old, beautiful Victorian house. So our yard was the neighborhood yard for wiffle games, ghost in the graveyard, football, frisbee, whatever.
Kick the can.
Yeah. And Ed lives right across the street from there. Had you lived there years and years ago, you would have had a front row seat for some of the best amateur sports.
Definitely.
Kids sports.
Fun times.
Yeah, for sure. So, but that's a great block. Good for you. That's how long have you lived there?
I think it's about 11 years now.
Okay.
Lived there. But yeah, really good neighborhood. And, live next to Jeff Skorick and, you know,
oh, yeah.
his daughter and then the other great neighbors next to us. That, I mean, we tell each other we love each other. Great families.
Wow. Jeff Skorick, for those of you listening, was the former Marinette police chief and a great guy and a great family. Bethany and
Kevin.
Yeah.
The other daughter. Phoebe.
Yeah, Bethany and Phoebe.
Yep.
And his wife is Mary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at me. My heart's still in the old hood.
It is. Good job.
All right. So how did you end up doing, Ed, what you do? Were you just like diving casually and you thought, hey, I want to see what's under there. How did this happen?
Well, it all started losing lures while fishing during the walleye run right now. You know, Marinette's like a big, huge walleye industry. Probably $1 million industry just in Marinette. All the tournaments they have, all the anglers that come there, they go out all the local shops, they come fish in the rivers, sleep in the hotels, frequent the restaurants, the bars. So it's like I was fishing with my kids, trying to teach them how to fish. They were losing my lures. I was losing my lures. And I needed to get them back. So I just started out in waders. I'd go out with a golf ball retriever, started trying to get them back. And I just had a little container. I'd fill it up. And then once the water warmed up, I ended up buying a cheap snorkel, like a diving mask. And then I just put some shorts on, some shoes. And I was just between the library and the island, just picking lures one after another.
So that's how, all right. And then you obviously graduated to like a full blown wetsuit.
Yep.
And like, is it freezing under there? I would think even in the summer, the Menominee River in Marinette is colder. The Fox River here in Green Bay where you dive is cold. How do you pull that off? How warm does that wetsuit actually keep you?
Well, it does get warmer in the summertime, you know, in the high 70s probably. I don't know if it ever gets to 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I started out with a thinner wetsuit.
I know why they call him Silent J now. He just
One word in yet. One word.
I got questions for you too, buddy. Hang in there. We'll get there.
But no, I ended up graduating to a thicker wetsuit so I could go earlier in the season instead of waiting until summer, and I could beat other people that get out there to find the lures. But then I started recording on my GoPro, and then I started making YouTube videos, and it just blew up from there.
Look at that. You never know what people are going to want to watch, right? Like, exactly. It's fascinating, though. Like, I pulled your videos up a couple times, and you just kind of get lost in them. So this is a thing. Like, a lot of people dive to get lures. Just to use them or to clean the river?
Well, more and more. There's been a lot of treasure hunters. Like some of the ones I started watching when I started doing this, I was like, is anybody else lure hunting or trying to clean up the rivers? So I found like D Almighty, Jigging with Jordan, Yappy Twandrick. They kind of do videos together and they've got millions of followers, subscribers. And I've been talking to Jigging with Jordan to get him come up here soon. So he's kind of been one of my inspirations, but I think they do a lot of treasure hunting and trying to return people's property, but I do more of the environmental, trying to like take all pieces of trash, all the line out, trying to get everything that doesn't belong underwater that snags people, they're fishing, and it's been an awesome journey.
So when you're down there, let's talk about that. As long as you've been doing this, how much of a dent have you made? And there's got to be so much work to be done. And I applaud you for doing it, but do you ever get overwhelmed? Like, are you just like, I'll just keep nipping away at this?
Well, the thing is, like, every year, the people that are fishing out there, it's just a cycle. You clean it up, they mess it up again. You clean it up, they mess it, like, all the line and all the lures, the hooks. You're finding mud puppies that are tangled up, crawfish, fish that are hooked up. And I just had a recent video on hooking a walleye that was stuck underwater. But it's like, it's just a cycle, and it's unending work, and I'll always have a job. And it's not just locally, it's all over where there's water across the Midwest, you know, all these places where people are walleye fishing or where they're muskie fishing. There's, you know, line junk in the water, swimming holes, party holes, always cans and glass and all that stuff.
Jeez. So let's talk about the mud puppy. Cause I told you, I saw one video where you were like, oh, there's a mud puppy. It looked like an alligator. And I had no idea that kind of stuff was in freshwater rivers locally. And I would probably have an accident if I saw something like that or thought I was seeing something prehistoric. Those are just running around down there, huh?
They're just, Jane, how do you see? You see a lot of mud puppies, right?
Yeah, they're in between the rocks.
So tell us again, Jay, what is a mud puppy exactly?
It's kind of like a salamander, but they live their whole life underwater.
That is nuts. I felt a little better about that when you told me that, because I was like, somebody put an alligator in this water and it had babies, and that's what we're dealing with now. So, Jay, what do you ever go down with them in the water? Or are you like?
Yeah, I go down with them, obviously, when the water's warmer, because I don't have a thick enough suit right now. But in the summertime, when the water's really warm, I don't even wear a suit at all.
Wow, really?
It doesn't wear anything, really. Oh, you know, he wears something.
And then Ed's like, hey, I found a naked guy under here. It's really traumatic.
If it wasn't a Barbie, it was a naked white guy.
So how did you get involved with this, Jay? You guys just buddies or what?
Yeah, I've known Ed years ago when he was a security guard in where I work down at Marinette Marine. And I haven't he quit there, and then I didn't see him for a while. And my kid goes, he was watching Facebook and social media, TikTok, and he goes, yeah, this guy is diving down by the Menominee Dam, and his name is Ed the Diver. And he goes, can we go down and see him? And I said, yeah, we'll go down there, check it out. And we go down there, and he comes up, and my kid goes, yeah, I follow you on TikTok. And Ed goes, here, grab a lure. I look at him, I'm like, I know this guy. I can't recognize his name, but I know who he is.
My guests are Ed the Diver and Silent Jay. Ed the Diver has a YouTube. How can people see your work? You want to give a plug here to the website, the YouTube?
So my website's edthediver.com, where people can order merchandise. I'll have lures on there more soon, but right now my local demand's up, so I don't have much lure options up on my website. It kind of goes through my mission, what I'm trying to do. And then also a YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Ed the Diver. And I'm about to hit 100,000 on Instagram. I'm about 133,000 on TikTok, and just hit 50,000 on Facebook. And then YouTube, I'm about to hit 10,000.
So wow, nice work.
It's growing.
Do you have an OnlyFans page?
I get asked that a lot, actually.
So, I think you guys should do one together. That could be weird and kind of fun, right?
Oh, boy.
That'll be weird. But these guys here, they might have their own
weird
OnlyFans.
Yeah, all right. So tell us the story. We've got, and then I don't think I can ever talk about Barbie again. I'm just going to be honest.
Let's get it all out tonight so
tell
it doesn't have to happen again.
Tell us what happened. And this is for a very good cause, too, by the way. Yeah. So tell us what happened.
So I'm going to put this thing down right here. This is separate. I was diving in the Wolf River in Shawnee, Wisconsin, and I was, you know, picking up trash. I was looking at fish, grabbing lion lures, and I was closer to the dam. There's like a lot of beer bottles laying around. But in between all those, I see this thing hanging out of the rocks, this dirty, yucky, I don't know how to explain it, just disgusting Barbie. And I seen it. I pulled it out of the rocks. I was a little excited because it's the first Barbie I found underwater. It's just scary. So I was just made my video after, and then people watched it. And a couple people, especially one person, said, hey, you should sell that Barbie. And who's going to want to buy a Barbie? So
she had ulterior motives.
I think so. So I ended up, after putting on my website for a little bit for $100, didn't sell. I ended up putting on eBay after somebody said, hey, you should eBay it. I'm like, I don't know if that'll work well, but I'll try it. So I transferred it to eBay, $100, and somebody said, hey, start it at 99 cents. I eBay a lot. If you start at 99 cents, it'll be better. So I did that, and within a day, it was past $100.
Jeez.
And then a couple of news stories picked it up. Channel 12 out of Rhinelander, on the day before the auction ended, they picked up. Their story went nationwide. It went all over the place. And then Channel 5 News came up to my house the day that it was the bidding was ending. And a girl named Christy Barlament, I don't know if you know her.
Familiar with her work?
Yeah. She she actually bought the Barbie after taxes. It was about $1,300.
So, but that's for a good cause, right?
Yeah, cleanup, to help us clean up, continue on. Yeah. Like I said, I'm like, this is full time, and I'm always trying to like figure out how to keep going so I can keep traveling, keep paying for fuel, gas, air for my tanks, equipment, the gloves and stuff that we need. Food, lodging, disposal of garbage.
So you know what's weird about that Barbie is somewhere in, how long do you think it's been down there?
Well, it's from 1993. And,
okay.
We were just trying to talk about that tonight. Maybe he was down there for 20 years. Who knows?
But there was a little girl who was probably bawling her eyes out because she dropped her Barbie off a bridge or something.
Yep.
And you found it. You should put the word out.
You got to be politically correct now, or it could have been a little boy's.
Could have been a little boy. Sure. Too. You guys are the ones with the OnlyFans page. I'm not judging. All right. So tell us about, I thought this was cool. You saw a sturgeon and you tried to pet it. Are they people friendly or that try to get away from you or what?
Most of the time when I go up to sturgeon or any fish, if I'm breathing out, they don't like the loud noise of the bubbles. And it's actually making me deafer as I get older too. But they get kind of scared. So I try to hold my breath when I go get close to big sturgeon or walleye. But the sturgeon, you can swim right up on them and you can actually pet them in and up.
Whoa, man.
You can actually get really close to them. And some of them are the same, as big as me, as long as me, and, over 100 pounds. So it's just really, really peaceful. But it scares the bejesus out of you when you're just looking for lures. You're looking at the bottom, all of a sudden this big old log comes swimming past your
face. They're not handsome fish. No. They look pretty creepy.
It makes your heartbeat skip a couple beats.
So. I bet. We used to go to the Peshtigo Dam when we found out there were sturgeons. We saw some that were 8 or 10 feet long.
Wow.
Yeah, and there were a couple of them. It was incredible. Okay, so I've got a ton more questions. We're talking with Ed the Diver and Silent J. They're here. And if you have a text, let's hear it. You got a question for Ed? I'd love to take it. I've got a ton of mine. So stick with us. We'll be right back with more of Ed the Diver and Silent J on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Spending some time tonight on this Thursday edition of Nightlight with Ed the Diver and Silent J. Ed the Diver has become a local folk hero and kind of a rock star with his work cleaning up the waterways with Jay. Robin to his Batman, would you say? Is that accurate?
Pretty much.
You know?
Maybe yin to yang.
Yin to yang, okay. Whatever you guys want.
Harley Quinn to Joker. Is it Harley? Joker? No, you're not a girl.
Oh,
thanks
man.
A lot.
Oh, dear. Silent J is about to become much less silent. He looks a little riled. Are there ever days where you just say, first of all, I want to say, in some of the videos I've seen, you come up from the water. There are no leaves in the trees. Mm-hmm. How long can you stay down there at that equipment?
So when it's cold out, when the water's in the 30s, usually a half hour to 40 minutes I can last. But at that 40-minute mark, my hands have been frozen for already 20 minutes. My feet are frozen. I got the shakes. Borderline hypothermia, and I got to get out. But with when you're looking for lures, it's addicting. And you're like, just one more.
One more,
just
yeah.
Just one more lure. One more, when the bottles, just one more bottle. So it's tough, and you got to tell yourself, it's more important to get out, be safe.
Yeah.
And Jay doesn't have a warmer suit, so he's just kind of on shore watching to make sure I'm still moving, make sure there's still bubbles coming up. So
you talked about the tanks. It costs money to put air in the tanks and all that. You have equipment that isn't, I don't think GoPros aren't that cheap, are they? And your equipment, I'm sure, is first rate because of how much time you spend down there. How much of an investment is all that stuff?
So I think with my GoPro, and it's when I bought them, they're $200. Now they're kind of outdated. Now there's a couple more new versions I'm looking into getting. But that's money. And then the cases and the mask that holds the case on is more expensive. Then, all the warmer gear, the gloves are $88 just for thicker gloves. Mm. And with all the hooks I'm grabbing, with all the line, the glass, all the trash, they get beat up pretty fast. And it's usually my left hand that the fingers will bust out first. So I've got a lot of pairs of gloves where the right hand's good and the left hand is just trashed.
Because that's so, your reaching hand or whatever?
It must be or something. Yeah. But no, then the wetsuits, I buy a different thickness of wetsuits for different times of year. So you want to have a thicker one, a warmer one for the colder water, and then you know, as it goes, gets to summer and it gets pretty warm, you can't wear that anymore. You got to wear something thinner. Otherwise, you're just sweating. And sometimes Jay just goes in his t-shirt and shorts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the one-word answers, man. That's so great. Just living up your nickname. That's perfect. So where's the place, where do you like to dive the most?
I really love the Menominee River. That's where I live up there. But some of the places that I grew up going to, like up at Shoe Pond up in Mountain, Wisconsin, where they got the slippery rock. There's a jumping rock there. Then you got all these trails. There's a dam there where all these crayfish are hanging out in the bottom. Like I grew up grabbing crayfish out of there, having boils, or just, you know, bringing the kids down there. But this year I've been seeing muskie down there.
Really?
Down there, and it's really neat, really fun.
They get kind of aggressive, don't they? Or they can?
They're never with me. They're just down there chilling. And
they're probably freaked out. They probably think you got all that stuff on. Like, what the heck is this guy doing?
But yeah, nothing's ever attacked me yet. I think one of my biggest fears is, like, I always wear a hood. I'm kind of creeped out, like all the weird bugs I find when out in all the fishing line and stuff we pull out. There's like these hell grommets. It's like these weird looking things with all these spikes and legs coming off it. It kind of freaks me out thinking about them getting my ears while I'm diving or something.
Oh yeah, totally.
So I'm always wearing a hood, and Jason's making fun of me
from above water.
Well, he's diving too that time. Okay.
No, when I'm diving, I don't wear a hood in the summertime, and I tell him, why you put the hood on? You ain't going to get no bugs in your ears. That's the farthest thing from them.
Yeah, but the minute you stand, if that's the hill you want to die on, a bug will crawl in your ear, and it'll be karma, buddy.
Yeah,
it'll be like irony. yeah, I don't know how you do that. That's pretty interesting. Like, when you go up to Shoe Pond, at places like that, are they polluted? That seems like it'd be a lot cleaner.
Well, it's just like a lot of other popular swimming spots for the summertime. You know, you got a lot of people from down south coming up, or people just from around here. They go to like the Krivitz area, Twin Bridge, Wolf Rock, where there's jumping rocks. Where people are drinking, they're partying, throwing bottles, and they're losing Apple Watches, necklaces, rings, all kinds of stuff. So it's like all that stuff over the years has built up. So I've been cleaning it up, and I go back to some of these spots like 3-4 times a year. Lee Lake, there's a swing rope there. I do a lot of cleanup there, a lot of parties. So, like, there's broken glass we pick up out of the swimming area so people don't cut their feet. And then we find items, like Apple Watches. We'll get them working again, send them back to the owners. So it's pretty cool.
I lost a condom at Twin Bridge. If you could just keep an eye out. I didn't even get to use it yet. I'm just saying. I know I'm not being cheap. I'm just saying it was a perfectly good. Okay. So, So where have you, all right, Ed, so you found the Barbie doll. What's the grossest or weirdest thing you found, would you say, so far?
Okay, well, you just said condom, right?
Yeah, I bet you see it's sure.
I found one today up at, laying on the boat launch, up at Metro Boat Launch, and I'm just like, what happens at this boat launch? Like, condom sitting right at the ramp here, so.
Maybe they're trying to encourage people. Tourism, I don't know.
I found a Model 94 Winchester rifle.
Oh, wow.
From 1941. It was wrapped in plastic and electrical tape. That was just north of Menominee.
Could that be like a murder weapon?
I gave it to the sheriff's department, and they couldn't find any crime committed with it or the owner, so they gave it back to me 3 months later. And I got it in my collection.
Wow.
And anyway, we find a lot of weird stuff. I think this is weird. This Barbie here, and then somebody that would actually want to buy it for $1,300 is kind of weird.
What about you, Jay? What have you found? Anything that you, like, creeped you out or you thought was strange?
It's kind of funny when you go in town, you know, by the train bridge, and we found actual adult DVDs on the bottom of the river too.
Oh wow!
I'm like,
a couple of kids panicking. Somebody's
girlfriend must have found the stash and threw them over the side or something. But basically you just find regular normal stuff. It's like you find MP3 players and
that's hilarious,
and just miscellaneous stuff.
Yeah, in some of the DVDs they had like it said Married with Children, and I was like, oh, I love that show. And then Jay's like, Eddie, look at the names of the episodes, and I'm like, oh, that's like, not Married with Children or The Nanny. No, you look at the episode names, it's
the
like
Fanny,
wow.
Or something. I used to swim right by before Marinette Marine became like a huge campus. Mm-hmm. There was like you could drive right up. There was like a cement pole and you could just jump right in. Is that water fairly clean right now? I don't know what kind of damage we did to ourselves.
No, the water quality has been getting better over the years. So it's pretty nice.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yep.
We have a few more minutes coming up next with Ed the Diver and Silent J. We are getting an education. And I'm going to ask, when we come back, I want you to tell people where they can donate to your cause. And it's for a very good cause. I got $14 in an offshore account I'm going to give Ed. So I'm just trying to encourage people. And I'll read your text coming up next. Your questions for Ed. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.